for the lesson, we'd talk about several different things. I don't have a rigid... well, I do have some notes here because... let's see, your voice is very good. So this part is all right. Okay, good. I suspect some of the drivers got replaced when Windows 10 installed itself. But I thought we'd talk, first of all, and I don't know how long this will take, but about what is a gospel. You know, I mean, we talk about a gospel as being good news, and some people try to make it God's spell, you know, spelling, words, word of God. But basically it's good news, and that's one of the definitions given in the dictionary. Any gospel, whether it's the gospel we're trusting today, the only gospel that works for salvation, the gospel that goes to God, or whether it's gospels in the past, you know, in the gospel of the kingdom, gospel, it wasn't called a gospel, but the covenants and the law that Moses gave, and they were told if they would keep them, they would be blessed. Well, there was a need there. We can see that. Let's stick, I think, with one gospel. We'll stick with the gospel we're under today. That's kind of ambiguous in itself because we do believe the gospel of God, the facts about who Jesus is, God's testimony that Jesus is the prophesied Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, and we believe that. But we're going to work today with the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel by which we're saved by today. The three things would be a need. There's a need. There's a remedy or a promise is the second thing, and the third thing is there's stipulations or how to acquire, how to make the acquisition. You know, what's our part in receiving what is promised? For instance, our gospel of the grace of God contains a need, and we'll look in Romans 3:23 for that. Let me just get my poster. Well, there's one of the problems. This computer is lagging all by itself here. Let's see, 3:23. For all have sinned, well, we know that, but the need is that we come short of the glory of God. God has a certain demand. He demands holiness in His presence, and we don't have it. We're sinners. We come short of the glory of God. And in addition to that, our need goes beyond that. If we look in Romans 6:23, we'll see that the wages or payment, payoff for sin, is death. That's a real need. But it goes on to say that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're going to find out, you know, that's part of the remedy, the promise. But what are the stipulations? How to acquire it? What is our part? The third thing that exposes the need that we have as humans is in Colossians 2, verse 13. Pardon me. I'm running without a mute. I don't know. Let me try this mute here. Hold on. Did you hear me clear my throat? I hope not. Welcome back, Gigi. Okay. All right. So... we were saying that every gospel has a need, and we were a need and a remedy or a promise, and the third thing being stipulations. What is our part? And for the gospel of the grace of God, the need is that we're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And this third verse on it also confirms that. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So that both those things were involved. If they would have been like Israel and been circumcised, things they would have a different. They would have a way. You know, God made a way back then. And salvation is of the Jews. John 4:22. Jesus told the woman at the well. At that time, that was their remedy, the promise that there would be salvation from their enemies on earth. Nothing about heaven yet was even told. But in our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, we have the need that we're sinners and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And there's also a remedy, though, and we're going to look at some verses about that. We previewed it there in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life, but how do we acquire that? So look at Ephesians 1, chapter 7. Ephesians 1, 7 says, Paul, and I got the wrong verse there. How'd it come up one? That's my computer going slow. There it is, 7. In whom we have redemption. Now we being, these are the saved saints there in Ephesus that heard the news from those elders that went back from the meeting in Miletus in Acts 17. They went back, not Acts 17, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, through the end of the chapter there. They went back, that was his first meeting with the elders in Ephesus since he was sent to all people back in Acts 20, verse 6. So they were overjoyed. They went back and started telling everybody. I mean, it wasn't just for the Jews and Greeks anymore. And then these people were getting saved, some of which would have been on the other side of the battle line there in Acts. I'm trying to think if it's 19. I think it's Acts 19, isn't it, where they talk about Diana, the Greek god of Ephesus, and he's ruining our income, and they took him before the judges, and I think that's the time when they threw it out because it was just a religious matter, not civil. Anyway, these are alien people apart from Israel that had been saved in Ephesus. People like you and me that didn't come to God through the covenants of Israel. Whether we were Jew, whether they were Jew or Gentile, people could come to God. Now that's a phrase, come to God, that some people object to, but people that wanted to be right with God and didn't know how, they could. God gave the covenants, God gave the promises, I will bless them that bless you, Israel. So if there are people that are not Israel that bless Israel, they get that blessing that God promised there. Promised it to Israel, but it's a promise God will keep to those that bless Israel. So, after that, after Israel fell, and you couldn't, I was going to say come to God, but we're talking about couldn't find a way to be right with God. Cornelius would have been somebody that wanted to come to God, but as a Gentile, you're right, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you're in Facebook, JG, but I made a comment in Facebook that was being objected to by some people in calling people that wanted to come to God, and they blessed Israel to do so, according to Genesis 12:3, calling those people Greeks. Well, you know, it was only a short period of time that they were called Greeks. You know, you go back to Moses' day, Israel coming out of Egypt in the Exodus, they're called a mixed multitude. I'm trying to think where that is. That's in that Exodus 12:38, I think. Let me look that up. Exodus. Oh, this slow computer. Come on. let me see if this is right or not. 38. No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and the flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And you get down to verse 41, talking about that same group that came out of Egypt. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So they're called part of the host of the Lord. Those Gentiles that wanted to they feared the God of Abraham. They saw those plagues that Moses was able to do because of God, and he gave God the glory, and they wanted to be part of that. So they're called a mixed multitude. Then you get to Jesus' day, the time of Jesus, and if you look in Matthew 8, I think it's verse 10, I think. It's about the centurion and his servant. And the centurion said, I'm just a Gentile, I'm not fit for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And the Lord says, verse 10, we'll try it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So he calls this Gentile someone of so great faith. You know, it's not a nickname you could tag on him, but that's the description God gave him. But this is the same type of person. Welcome, Linda Clay, and welcome to the room. We're talking about what is a gospel, what makes up a gospel, and the three things would be a need, a remedy, or a promise about how to get out of that need, and the third thing is the stipulations, or how to acquire it. What is our part? So great faith. Yeah, that fits right in with belief, doesn't it? Right. December saint. Sorry about that. Let's look at some more. I think I just posted that verse, didn't I? And I didn't really read through it. I got started talking about how these Ephesians that he wrote were different than the ones that he visited in Acts 18 and 19. They were ones that in Acts 20, when he called the elders down to my leaders, sent them back with news that the Lord had finally sent him to all people, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. Had a barbarian heard the gospel, you know, even in Acts 9, if he had heard the gospel and believed it, he would have been saved. It's just that Paul wasn't sent to them yet. It wasn't his goal to reach them. He wasn't addressing them in his letter, in his Acts period letters. So here's the verse. In whom we, that's where we got off on that. We, he's talking about believers there. Even believers like us that didn't come to God through Israel's covenants, come to God through the mystery of Christ, that Christ revealed to Paul, sent back word from heaven. It was a secret that he revealed to Paul, that we can be saved by believing that Christ died for our sins. So, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's through his blood we have redemption. Do you hear the promise in that? That's the remedy. We have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We, the believers. Now, you can't say that's everybody. Disbelievers don't have the forgiveness of sins. They have their sins paid for. Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross, but they're not yet forgiven because they don't believe. Unto all that believe, it says in Romans 3:22. So, look at the next verse, and this would be Colossians 1:14, which is, instead of being to the Ephesians, it's to the Colossians, on the same topic as what we just read. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, if there's somebody that needs a second verse, confirming the first verse, to me, one verse in the Bible, if it says it specifically, that's fine, that's plenty. This one confirms it. So, look at verse 20 in the same chapter. This Colossians, the first chapter, is an amazing chapter. You know, if you go through that, there's just nugget after nugget. Well, they're not nuggets. I mean, they're just explosions of truth. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. There it is again. It's the blood of the cross. The blood. That's the means. Not the death, not the cross itself, but the blood of the cross. When he died on the cross, it's his blood that bought our when he died to shed his blood to forgive us our sins. Now, it's referred to in different ways. You know, one verse says he died for our sins using the death part. This says having made peace through the blood of the cross. And other places it talks strictly about the cross. But it says, having made peace through the blood of the cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether things, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And he goes, you know, I think that's a couple of verses past where he goes into the differences, the things that were. Isn't that verse 16? I think it is. Where, but that's, I don't want to get off on a sidetrack. Things created, things in heaven, things in earth, visible and invisible. Things in heaven that are thrones or dominions. Things on earth that are thrones or dominions. Principalities and powers. All things were created by him. That's verse 16. I wasn't going to get sidetracked. Sorry about that. Let's go back to the beginning of that Colossians 1 chapter. And so it's Paul speaking, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to, so it's from Paul and Timotheus to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. So this is not to everybody. If it says your sins are forgiven, doesn't mean sinners, I mean unsaved people's sins are forgiven. It's talking to saved people already, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the signature statements from Paul, grace be unto you and peace. So, going on, we'll get to verse 3, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 6, and I hope we can see some things we might not have seen before, some connections with other verses. One thing there in 2 we didn't comment on, but let me find where it was again here. No, it's not there. Well, I missed it, so let's go on to 3. We give thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul talking to believers. And since we heard of your faith. So the Colossians were like the Ephesians. Paul didn't go to Colossae and save these people and preach the gospel to them and save them. They heard from other means. It had gotten spread around. The word of God was multiplying, and they heard and they believed the gospel. Whoever the preacher was, they believed that Christ died for their sins, and by believing that, they are saved, not waiting to be saved like Israel was promised that their sins would be blotted out when Christ returns. When Christ revealed the new pattern to Paul, okay, he's gone. anyway, the new pattern is that we're saved instantly upon belief. And, you know, that's a lot different. You can't lose something where you already promised you're going to be in heaven. If you lose it, God's a liar. And God's not a liar, though. You can't lose it. So we were in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. And these last two in this series are the crucial ones. Let me put them both up there. Verses 5 and 6 state, they go together. There's no period there. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now there's a promise. You know, Israel was never told that they would be going to heaven. They knew there was a heaven. God was in heaven. They prayed to God in heaven. They saw the ladder coming down from heaven and angels going up and down. But they weren't promised that was their domain. Their domain was the kingdom on earth. That they would have dominion as God had promised. That which was lost by Adam and Eve in the garden, lost to Satan, would be recovered. They would reestablish God's authority on earth. But here, to the people in the mystery, the people like you and I that believe Paul's gospel, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? Where do we hear about the word? Let me just put the verse up there. Hold on. I'm stumbling around here. 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. When this stops jumping around, it'll go to the verse. There we go. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you go back up to Colossians 1, 5 and 6, where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel? The word of the truth of the gospel. So it's almost the exact same wording. It's the same meaning. That's how they got saved, by the gospel, hearing and believing. And talking about the gospel, it says, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So they are connected, they're tied together. He's telling the same thing to the Colossians as he told to the Ephesians. And I know what it was I saw that I was going to mention, but I can't find where it is now. Just a second, let me pull up this other Bible actually. Looking for Colossians. This is Theophilus, available at the website on the software page. Theophilus 1. I think it's in 2. I don't remember. Yeah, we did cover 2:13. Let's see here. Where did that go? Just a second. I'm sorry about this. I should have marked it down. That's what happens when you don't have a real tight set of notes. I don't see it. Just a second. I can find it this way. Colossians 1:21. So it was back in 1:21. Now I got to get it to go there. Thank you for your patience. We're going to start with 20. That's where we were before, and we'll go into 21. And having made peace by through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven, thank you, things in heaven or things, whether they be things in earth, or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Part of that wicked works was what you're cursed for, what Gentiles were cursed for not blessing Israel. Now he doesn't go into it as explicitly as he does in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, where the alienated ones are without God in the world, without hope. The only hope they have would be to stop being alienated back then, before Paul's message, to join in with Israel. Well, after Paul's message, after Paul received the message from Christ, they would no longer be alienated, not because of Israel or blessing Israel, but because Christ died for their sins. Christ is the redemption. Look back at verse 20 there. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things. No, I don't think that means, you know, in a box of Kleenex, the first Kleenex is reconciled, second Kleenex is to, the third is to, all things, not in that sense, but all things in the sense of Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, barbarians, you know, whatever category you want, all those are reconciled. It doesn't mean angels, they're not reconcilable. But as far as the believers that are reconciled, to reconcile them to himself. And let's go on. Let's see, did I? That's 121, yeah. So the alienated part there is confirmation again for what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 12. And maybe we should just read that since I mentioned it a couple times. Verse 12, as soon as it comes up. Thank you, that's a big help. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, had you not been alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, had you been a blesser of Israel, you would not be without Christ. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were separated from Israel when that was the only way to go. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ doesn't save you until you believe it. You're nigh, all you got to do is that third part. You know, there's the need, there's the remedy, and there's your part, our part, the stipulations. And that, for us, is different from anybody, any other good news in the Bible that I could find. You know, the law, you got to keep the law, you got to be circumcised. Abraham had to go up on the mountain with his son and the firewood and the machete, you know, and sacrifice his son. The Lord stopped him, yes, but he had to go through that. He received some unconditional promises too, but the stipulation for us is no works. You put works in it, you pollute it. It's not your works. Christ did all the work, and if you don't believe that, you don't believe the gospel. Christ did all the works to save you. Believe on him to life everlasting. All right, we got through those. How does the grace of God in truth appear? That we saw there in Ephesians 1:6, Colossians 1:6. We're going to go to the next verse, if you could post Colossians 2:13. And I'm going to post the one I just read, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Another confirmation. Titus 2:11 is the one that I needed, actually. I had another verse in between, but Titus 2:11 tells us about that grace of God in truth, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to the Jews and the Greeks. That's not what it says. At this time, by the time Paul wrote Titus, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There's a difference there. There's a graduation, a step. So the remedy and the promise proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. Well, thirdly, what's the third part of the gospel then? The gospel of the grace of God, our gospel that we're saved by, has its stipulations. It has our part that needs to be, I don't want to lead you astray saying be done. So be done or believed. And it's just believe, nothing to do. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved by grace you are. Are you saved? Not will you be saved when Christ returns to blot out your sins, but by grace are you saved through faith. And by grace refers to are you saved, not the grace. It's the salvation for by grace are you saved. In other words, you are saved by grace, by God's grace. And then it goes on, through faith, it's your initial faith in receiving the reconciliation that Christ accomplished by the blood of his cross that we just read about. So, through faith also refers back to, are you saved? Not to the grace. It refers back to the salvation, just like the rest of the verse. One subject in that verse. I stopped in the middle of the verse. For by grace are you saved. Let's see, did I mix it up? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That salvation, again, is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And it refers to that salvation again, the subject of the verse. You are saved. Are you saved? It's the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, without breaking it up and explaining each word, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Colossians 1:4. Colossians 1:4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, just a minute again, please. Hold on. Okay. Some of you are aware, or all of you maybe, that it's a lot easier to find fuller salvation verses that have all three parts in the same verse or same series of verses. It's a lot easier to find those verses when Paul was going to the Jew first and also to the Greek in a dispensation of the gospel in the Acts period, what some people call the transition period. I'm not sure why. It's an introductory thing. Paul was introducing to the Jew first and also to the Greek the fact that they're not saved by Israel anymore. They're saved by Christ having died for their sins and their faith in that. So it's explained pretty often. I mean, several places it's real clear. 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 3-5, it's real clear about salvation. And that, you know, the part of it that's called justification as well as quickening. But you get into the post-Acts epistles, sometimes called the prison epistles, the ones after he was sent to all people. And it's harder to find altogether verses that have all three parts of salvation in it. So I'm trying to concentrate on those those few that are there. Look at Colossians 4, 1 verse 4, and we'll go through 6, 4, 5, and 6. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, so they had placed their faith in him and in what he did, and the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. There's the promise, the remedy, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So it's this verse 4 starts with the stipulation, doesn't it? That you have faith in Christ Jesus, that what he says he'll do. For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. There's another confirmation that by the time he wrote Colossians, it was he was being sent to all people, not just to the Jews, as had been ever since the Lord appeared to Abraham. It was, or since since Jacob was born, I guess, that God was working through Jacob, through Israel and his descendants, children of Israel. That didn't stop when God changed the way that people are saved. He still was sending Paul to the same people. That there was a change eventually, but when people try and put that all together, they're just trying to make one more difference when it's not in the Bible that that's a difference. God was still, you know, the Lord predicted, the Lord prophesied that he would not be going to all people yet, that he would be going to the Jew first and also the Greek. I think this is later in the notes, but as long as we're talking about it, let me jump to it right now. Habakkuk, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th book from the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, there we go, let's see. Behold, you among the heathen. So this is a prophecy. Prophecies are to Israel. And so ye, proper pronoun identification, ye would be Israel. Behold, ye among the heathen. So they've been scattered. They were scattered by Assyria and they were scattered by Babylon. They knew about that but they didn't know they were going to be scattered by the persecution that arose with the stoning of Stephen. They were scattered by that too. Anyway, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days. I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, if I can get that up here. Acts 13, and it would be verse 41. Acts 13, and now I gotta get this one to scroll up to 41. Acts 13:41. Thanks. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And this is said just as part of his visit there in Antioch of Pisidia, when he gave his first recorded message. First, I don't mean that it's, you know, on iTunes and recorded, but it's recorded in the scriptures what he said, at least the impact of it. And it's a different gospel. It's not a gospel of the kingdom. It's a gospel of salvation through this man. Those of you that know, let's see, go back three verses to 38. And it says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. If you remember, Peter was always preaching the remission of sins, holding off punishment for those sins until Christ returns to blot out those sins. But we have immediate forgiveness of sins. And he goes on to compare it with the former way, the way of Moses, the law, the circumcision, the covenants. By him all that believe are justified, present tense, are now justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's a difference. They're not the same way. They're not the same means. Not the same gospel. It's not the same gathering or a group of people that have received the promise. We receive a different promise. We are promised heaven. They're promised the land, recapturing the authority that Adam lost to Satan. Welcome, Brian. Let me see where we are here. So we were going down through Colossians 1, 4 to 6. Let's go to Titus 3. Just a brief review. We're studying what is a gospel, what makes up a gospel in the Bible. And there are basically three things. A need. You know, we've got the wrath of God. Mankind has the wrath of God on us until something changes that. Then there's a promise or a remedy. And that would be, you know, the way God provides a means for us to avoid that need, that wrath that's coming. And thirdly, what are the stipulations? How to acquire it? What's our part? So we're looking at the part about the stipulations. What's our part? And we're down to Titus 3, verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Titus 3, verse 4. But after that, in the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Did I read that right? But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You know, as believers, it's already done. It's already past tense. Saved us. Yes. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us, shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So, again, it's nothing we did. He earned that renewing of the Holy Ghost. We didn't have the Holy Ghost to start with. He did. And when He became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, He had, after He had paid that debt, risen from the grave, He had to be renewed of the Holy Ghost. Same with the washing of regeneration. He was regenerated. There was a washing, put it that way, that went on. Anyway, all that good stuff, good items, that happened at the resurrection, He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus 3:6. That's what we trust in. We don't try and do that ourselves. We don't try to... Hi, Clarence. Glad you could come in. Didn't see you before. We don't try to, you know, outdo the works of God, you know, do more holy, be more holy than Christ was, or some silly, you know, those are just, if you talk about them, you can see how silly it is that people try to do good works. Well, we'll probably all start out blinded about that, trying to be good enough for God and stuff, you know, until you realize that you're not impressing God. You may be cutting down on the things you do, you know, that put Him on the cross, actually. But there's still things that you're doing. There's still thoughts. You've still got your past, too. All that is gone when you come to Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Verse 7. Well, I better go into it from verse 6 again. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, His shedding that on us, that's the result, is that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, there's more promise, isn't it? There's more remedy to our situation, our need. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed, there's the belief, that's our part, isn't it? They that have believed in God might be careful. Now, notice it doesn't say must, it says might be careful to maintain good works. And that's where works come in. There are works. We're not to ignore works. It's just, it doesn't have anything to do with saving you. It's like the good part about seeing a ball game, baseball game, you can't do it outside the park, but once you're let in, then you can see the game. Well, we can't do anything for God, any kind of good works, before we're saved. Once we're saved, then we can begin to show forth what God, show to others what God has done to us and bring glory to God. Might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. So, summarizing, tying it together. The need, the remedy, and the stipulation. The need proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that we're all sinners. We come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The remedy, though, the remedy proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of the cross. Well, how does that apply to me? How could, you know, it's like saying, I can't think of the first words. I learned it as a kid. Isaiah 53:6. I can't get it to come down. 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We, and you know, when I learned it, I put myself in there, but this is a prophecy to Israel. We as Israel, all Israel like sheep have gone astray. Israel has turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Well, I knew that he laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, but us all would be all Israel at that time. The Lord laid on Jesus my sins too and your sins. It just wasn't announced until Paul had gotten saved and received these revelations about the mystery of Christ, that our sins are paid for too. And our gospel, our stipulation, the third point, our part, proclaimed by the gospel of the grace of God, is that we must believe the gospel that Christ did it all without our help. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. Believe on him to life everlasting. And that's pretty much what I've got down on that with these rough notes. So.